keep in mind that there is no obligation for ZRZ to develop anything. It is not.
That's not completely true, and I'm on your side on this. Uh-huh. But remember the slide that they showed us earlier? There's $47 million without Zidel. Mm-hmm. We're putting $19 million into Parcel 3. So we've actually got $47 million to do the two projects that we've promised without the Zidel money kicking in. The Zidel money kicks us to 60, mm-hmm. and I'm on your side, mm-hmm. and I want more housing, and I want to make sure we hit our targets. But I just want to be clear. The assumptions around money for affordable housing to get to the 47, which is the amount we have for the first two projects, is exclusive of the Zidel agreement.
Okay. Let's see, where was I? Sorry. Okay. It's not advisable to tie the city's right to buy and develop these sites to a time frame over which the city has no control. The housing and the park are too important to the district to risk losing them due to the unpredictable timing of real estate development. The League recognizes the efforts PDC made to strengthen the affordable housing provisions. We recommend improving the agreement by placing a fair market value cap on the escalating price so that the Housing Bureau pays whichever is less. As to the park, why are the park's location and acreage undetermined? This is a very risky approach as development may limit the park's size and location. Why is the purchase price based on the market value at the time of sale? Given the timeline for the steps that need to be taken first, it is conceivable that a price will not be set until 2020. Over time, land costs are likely to skyrocket. Keep in mind that in 2006, the city paid $5 million for Block 49. This DA commits only $5 million in TIF for acquisition. Instead, a timeline and pricing formula similar to that for the affordable housing site should be applied. If development does not occur, TIF fails to materialize, and the city does not meet the deadlines for acquiring the affordable housing and park properties, what are the consequences? We read the DA to say that the city will lose the right to acquire these properties if it does not purchase them by the deadline set forth in the agreement. In the event of environmental contamination or title complications, the agreement caps ZRZ's responsibility for curative measures at $250,000. Environmental cleanup can be expensive. Is the city prepared to cover additional costs? Why shouldn't ZRZ bear full responsibility? There are significant exposures and risks that need to be addressed before this agreement is executed, and we encourage you to attend to them. And also, in the time I have left, I want to second Leah Greenwood's comments about OHSU. The League has been saying that over and over again, that OHSU needs to step up and provide a site for affordable housing project. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you both. Okay, is there anyone else?
That's all who signed up.
Okay. Yeah, so could staff come back up, please, Patrick and Geraldine, for any other questions from council?
Patrick, the League, Debbie raises a question, I think a very important question, about under what circumstances could we effectively lose the option to purchase the dirt in the Zidel development for affordable housing. Now, we've got timelines here, and we know from your presentation we've got resources, TIF resources, that are developed exclusive, independent from the Zidel development agreement, but under what circumstance could the city lose its option to purchase that dirt?
So the option that will be negotiated includes a timeline for the acquisition. We outlined projected dates for when that would occur, and those dates are outlined in the development agreement as well. specifically requiring that the purchase option for the affordable housing needs to be executed by 2021, November 1st.
Correct. Now, you've set aside $19 million bucks for Parcel 3, correct?
Correct.
And how much TIF do you anticipate will be available for the just for the acquisition of this land, independent of whether Mr. Zeidel moves forward with his development as of 2021?
Independent of the development agreement?
I mean, without
development. Without any new TIF being generated as a result of his development, you're going to spend $19 million in Block 3. What are the available resources for affordable housing as of 2021? Just ballpark.
So there's an Exhibit E in the development agreement that outlines those. And I may have to do some math here, but for housing, we are projecting outside of the development agreement the $42 million you mentioned.
$42 million.
So $42 million minus $19 would be what would be
so
available.
So there may be a question, I suppose, about when we develop the dirt, but it sounds to me like it's short of a negligent action by the city, it's inconceivable that we won't exercise the option to purchase the dirt. Is that fair?
Correct.
Well, it would be the city's decision. Yeah, it's the city would have to actively decide not to exercise
not
the
to.
Option.
And it wouldn't be because we didn't have the resources to do it.
Correct. And you know, we can kind of scenario plan all sorts of things. The city could even exercise the option in advance of the TIF being available, and the TIF could pay back the city. I mean, there's all sorts of ways the city could exercise the option and acquire the land in advance of the development.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think there might be some merit to doing that.
Yeah, so you could. So that's a way to, right.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions for staff? Okay, any council
motions
or decisions?
I think we were all prepared to give comments today, particularly because it's unlikely that everyone that's here is going to be back here next week. Is there any reason why we don't move to put an emergency clause on this?
I don't see one. I don't see any reason not to.
So I would move to put an emergency clause on the ordinance.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion about that? So roll call vote on adding the emergency clause, please.
May I just ask the city attorney, is that proper?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
And I believe it's because it's in the public interest to move expeditiously in implementing this agreement. Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Then a roll call vote on the ordinance then.
Fish?
We've been at this for a long time. I was trying to think of what the appropriate analogy would be. And the best one I could come up with is a high school romance. Seems to me, over time, it was on, it was off, there were new issues, new faces, new circumstances. But congratulations to everybody that brought this home. And I want to acknowledge Mayor Jillian Detweiler on your team. I want to acknowledge Javier and Carl at the Housing Bureau, Patrick, Lisa, and Geraldine in particular at PDC. And I'll have something to say about the other folks in a second. I also want to thank Liam Frost, Sonia Schmansky, and our new BES director, Mike Jordan. The stormwater issues are not uncomplicated, and it took a lot of conversations and a lot of effort to get to this point. So I appreciate everyone's work. A couple years ago, a number of us were at a funeral for Nohat Toulon, who was one of my mentors and someone that I think about a lot. And Dr. Toulon reminds us that most of the great things that happened in this city happened because someone had vision and persistence. And he had a 30-year vision for what he wanted at Portland State, and it included a university district, and it included an urban center, and he had this dream of transportation bisecting the urban center, and he had a big dream. But it took 30 years to realize that dream, and he was a very patient man. But what we also remember about Nohat is he was very persistent. And so I want to acknowledge that ultimately we would not be here today if Jay Zeidel did not have a vision and the persistence to see that vision forward. And there are probably days he gets up and thinks, yeah, the barge business was a pretty good business compared to being a developer. But this city needs people with vision and the tenacity to see their vision through. And I think today we owe him a debt of gratitude and his family. And the fact that he's made two things very clear in this process. One is that he has empowered the next generation of his family to take a leadership role in this. And number two is he said that he intends to be a long-term owner, that this is going to be something that's going to stay within the family. And I think we're all excited about that. I have a sense of how much work behind the scenes had to get done to get to this point. And two words that come to mind are collaboration and trust. A lot of collaboration. And then at the end, it took a lot of trust. And it took, in fact, some members of the council up here, it took a leap of faith. And it required some of my colleagues to actually roll up their sleeves, go down there, and rethink some assumptions about how we're going to do this. And to those who say that the commission-style form of government has this built-in inefficiency, I think this is an example where everybody on this side of the table brought something unique and important to the process. And I especially want to compliment my friend Commissioner Fritz, because I think there were some issues that she cared deeply about, and as is her style, she got directly involved in the sort of personal diplomacy to satisfy her concerns. A couple years ago, we were looking at a district before the mayor's proposal to do reset on urban renewal generally that was projected to have about $7 million for affordable housing. Today, we are contemplating $60 million. We didn't have a clear path to build units beyond Gray's Landing. Now we have a clear path to build at least 400 more units, and we have members of the community reminding us that that's a down payment and we've got to do more. And I celebrate that because that ultimately means 400 families that cannot afford to live in our city are going to have a choice, a chance to live in a very desirable neighborhood. And if the idea of opportunity, which is at the heart of what Dan Saltzman is doing, means anything, it means that folks that don't have a lot should be able to choose where to live and raise their families. And I think over time, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a more attractive and desirable place to live than South Waterfront. And finally, I just should acknowledge that I think Gretchen Cafori is somewhere smiling down on us today, because she was a very loud voice for making sure we honored our affordable housing commitment, and we have come so far. And finally, it is our tradition when we adopt something like this to then collectively wish that our partners are wildly successful. Because this is one of those moments where your success rebounds to the benefit of everyone. So, Jay, we hope you're wildly successful. We hope that Google decides to relocate and have their world headquarters and you're there. We hope that Nike wakes up and has buyer's remorse. We hope that everyone's beating down your door, because if you are wildly successful, then the whole South Waterfront and the whole city benefits. Mayor, thank you for your leadership on this. It started with this bigger vision you had about reset on urban renewal, and we're now bringing home something that I think not that long ago people doubted we could do. So congratulations to everyone who had a hand in this. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, this is an historic moment, and I really want to acknowledge that, and I guess maybe just provide some perspective that I've been fortunate enough to be a witness to on my tenure on the City Council. Starting under Mayor Vera Katz, when this whole piece of land was looked at and nobody thought anything could be done with it. It was too snarled, no access to it. I mean, it was great industrial use, great waterfront marine use, but when you went over the Ross Island Bridge or the Markham Bridge and you looked over there and you realized all the difficulties of making something happen there, it was really a challenge. And this City Council over the years has slowly working with partners, you know, put all the pieces in place. This is really sort of the final piece that still remains to be, the painting still needs to be finished, but we have a pretty clear idea with this agreement where we're going to end up. And, you know, I think it's just a real credit to everybody in the city of Portland who has had the patience to stick with this process and to start developing the essential infrastructure to make this work. And it started out with you know, some visionary people taking a risk on building housing down in this area, and for a long time, and even still today, it kind of looks out of place, but it's popular. And, you know, and without the tram and OHSU's commitment to expand to South Waterfront, you know, another piece of the puzzle would not have happened. So another major piece, the Knight Cancer Research Institute, OHSU's major commitment there. And really, this is the last major piece. And I'm really excited about both the opportunity to allow us to achieve our affordable housing goals in the South Waterfront. And I think this does protect the public's interest by setting a price for the purchase of the parcel of land in advance. And I believe that we will, based on the wildly successful development that we anticipate will happen there, that we will have adequate resources when those resources are needed to add these additional units of affordable housing and more. And so I'm really just want to recognize, again, the Zidell family's contribution to our city. I know, you know, like being up here, being a witness to all this, I've had many chances to meet with Jay over the years and share in some of his frustrations, or at least listen to his frustrations with the city. And but I've also seen the newer generation come along, and I think really sort of, you know, really put some new energy into doing something down here. And you know, I just want to take parenthetically just say how great it is to sort of start attaching identity to Zidell Yards. You know, when I read about concerts happening down there in Willamette Week, or ads in the Mercury about, you know, the Food Cart Festival, the Zidell Yards, I mean, it's starting to really catch on. People are starting to recognize this sense of place. And that's only going to bode well, I think, for the future development down here. And, you know, I too hope somebody like a Google or a Nike will take another look at this tremendous opportunity to have people work and live in our city, and with tremendous transit access and greenway access and a new park. So it's all very exciting, and I feel fortunate to be able to sort of be here as a witness to this final piece of the puzzle being put together as well. And I know there's probably going to be, obstacles along the way to getting to yes, but I do want to thank PDC, Geraldine, Patrick, Lisa, for really getting this deal across the table. The mayor's office, Julian Detweiler, Portland Housing Bureau, Javier Mena, and Carl Dinkelspiel in particular. And I just think we're at a great point, and I'm really pleased to be able to be here today to support this. Aye.
Novick.
It takes a village of city bureaus to raise a development agreement. and I'm very grateful for the work of staff of PBUD, including Kurt Kruger and Dan Layden, and BDS staff and park staff, and BES and the city attorney's office, especially Harry Auerbach. So thanks to all of you, and thanks to everybody. Aye.
Fritz.
Much has been said, but not just been said by everyone, so I'm going to repeat some of the things that have already been said. Thank you to Jillian Detweiler in the mayor's office, to Geraldine and Patrick at the Portland Development Commission, Tim Crail, Patty Howard, and Tom Bazot in my office, and Mike Abate and our team at Parks. And to Jay Zidell and your team, it's truly a public-private partnership, which we all hope is going to succeed beyond our wildest dreams. Echo Commissioner Fisher's acknowledgement of the commission form of government and my delight in being personally involved, as well as admiration for his leadership on the housing issue, getting to places which we're not entirely comfortable with, but we're trusting that things are going to go well. I will note that the agreement we're signing today or approving today does not allocate all of the additional tax increments financing that will result from this development. As Commissioner Fish pointed out, the Council and the Portland Development Commission will have a further debate about whether the housing allocation is 50% or the 43% that it's currently set up by code. There are many, many infrastructure improvements still unfunded in the district. The South Portal is one of the main ones that is of great concern to me. The ways in and out of the district, we knew back when I was on the Planning Commission when we sent this to Council, that was one of the big constraints. the money for improving the park. I tell you, $5 million, that may not go very far for purchasing property. It certainly doesn't go very far in developing property. So we're going to need to be in a conversation about that. But that I trust that we are going to get to an agreement and that we're going to figure out together how to fund it appropriately. If we don't, the agreement doesn't require us to buy property that we can't afford or to develop it in ways that we don't want to do. So trusting and verifying is also there. It's uncertain, but then it's also flexible. And I think that that is important, not knowing what's going to be developed there in the near future and in the long term. It's certainly another reason that I'm hoping to get reelected next year so that I can be part of the implementation of this agreement and be there to discuss where's the park. The Ross Island Bridge Park is actually a very nice place. I appreciate you giving me a tour of it. It reminds me of Cathedral Park. It is the city owns the right-of-way underneath the bridge. So when people are saying, oh, we're concerned that there won't be any park, oh, yes, there will be, because we at least have that area. And I'm confident that together we can design an open space concept plan that will pull together the greenway, the enhancements that are being proposed there, and the rest of the district. Commissioner Saltzman referred to this as the last piece of the puzzle. I'm reminded of the winter Christmas vacation that I spent with my husband's family. We did a puzzle that was circular, so no edges, or edges but no corners, and entirely green, so no colors. And we spent it's New York, so it was snowing. So we spent the entire vacation putting together this puzzle. And lo and behold, there was an extra piece after we got the entire thing done. The puzzle was done, but there was an extra piece that didn't fit in. And so I caution us, we need to be clear. This neighborhood didn't develop over the last 10 years the way it was envisioned. It was supposed to be a lot more jobs than housing. That didn't work. I'm really grateful for the Knight Cancer Institute that is now bringing in those additional jobs. And clearly the Zeidel property development can also focus on jobs as well as housing. If it's going to be a truly mixed neighborhood, it has to have both. But it's not currently a great neighborhood, I would have to say. It has some things that are lacking. It's coming along. But this development agreement is the make or break for the entire area. If we can get it right, it's going to be a wonderful community to live, work, and play in for 100 years and more. If we don't, it'll be not quite what we thought. And I think with this development agreement, we're set in a path of, yes, we can still see the vision, we can get there, and we're committed to the partnership to do so. Very much appreciate the League of Women Voters for their ongoing attention to this. There's folks there who have been looking into this for many years, and indeed Laura Campos, who mentioned that she's been doing it for 32 years. So we have committed community members who also want it to work, whether they live in or near the district or not. And I appreciate the mayor's leadership in allowing us all to be part of this to get to an agreement that I can support. Thank you. Aye.
Hales.
Well, let me say I feel the heft of this decision in part because of context. Not just because it's been painstakingly negotiated with a lot of people that have done good work together over quite a bit of time, but also because of the importance of this decision in terms of urban development. In one capacity or another, four different day jobs and some volunteer jobs as well, I've been thinking about how cities grow for about 30 years. And all over the country now, there's a movement from the suburbs to cities. So we all need to think about that because, of course, it's happening here. And we're growing fast, faster than many people are comfortable with. But nevertheless, we're growing. And that's true, again, in other cities. There's a lot of infill and redevelopment happening in cities all over the country. But there are only a handful of places in North America that I know of, really six that I know of, where a city has had the opportunity to create a whole new neighborhood, if you define it the way I would about the Pearl District in the South Waterfront. And those are two of those six neighborhoods. The others are Yale Town and Cole Harbor in Vancouver, British Columbia, Battery Park City in New York, and South of Market in San Francisco. Plus or minus, those seem to me the chances that major American cities have had to do what we're doing in the Pearl District and now here, and that is try to create and put in place all the ingredients of a new neighborhood: housing, public spaces, employment, the nonprofit sector, a major institution, whether it's the Pacific Northwest College of Art, much smaller scale operation, or OHSU, transportation. And the scary thing about that list is not only that it's short and that two of the six major opportunities like that are here, but I think I can say without too much bragging that we're actually doing a better job than those other four. There's not really much local transit circulation in Battery Park City, although New York has a great subway system. Coal Harbor and Yale Town have amazing public spaces, but not much new employment. In terms of all those ingredients, the Pearl District, which has been rated by the Congress on the New Urbanism and those kinds of folks that look at these things as the best new urban neighborhood in the country, and now South Waterfront, have done a better job of putting all those pieces in place in order to create something that's obviously very difficult to do, which is a great new urban neighborhood from what was essentially, in both cases, nearly an empty quarter, although obviously the Zidell company has soldiered on in their business while much of the land around them went fallow. One of the things that it takes for that success to happen is for a city, our city, and the private property owners and developers to have a really clear understanding about what we expect from each other, and that that's durable, as Commissioner Saltzman noted, over multiple administrations and over many years, because it does take a long time to build a new neighborhood. And that's why this development agreement matters so much, because this is how we hold each other accountable. Jay and his team can look to the city and say, it's right here in the development agreement. This is what we have a right to expect from the city. And we can look to him and his team and say, and it's right here in the agreement. We expect you to deliver just as you do us. And that's why this is a contract in that sense of the word, and a very important social contract between a community and an enlightened citizen who owns some property and who wants to do the right thing. So this is a big day, and a credit to all, Patrick, you and your team, most of all, for getting us to this point on the city side. Credit to you, Jay, as I said, for being persistent in trying to get your vision in writing with the city that you love and that your family is so much a part of. So well done. Much good work ahead. I look forward to the day when the South Waterfront as a neighborhood is as far along as the Pearl District is today, and the thousands of people who live and work there and the people who visit it say, what a great and complete neighborhood. We're well on the way to that vision, and this document will get us there. Well done. Aye. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay, it is 12 o'clock. I propose that we run on until 12:30 and then take a half an hour break. Does that sound good to the council? And we will see how far we can get down our regular agenda. We have that one item that we pulled from regular. It's yours.
No. We have one more time, sir.
Mayor, we have we have the second item. We have the second of these two to vote on. No, I know, but I mean, we read.
Steve, you want an emergency on 59?
We don't need to.
We'll just let it go a second.
Then we have a time. 6:59 goes to second reading. That's right. I blew past 6:60. So we will do 6:60 next.